אתם עם SBS בעברית.
We're talking to Ron Notman and Lisa Armstrong. Ron, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hi, I'm an Australian-born Jewish fellow, 63 years old. I've always been highly active and highly involved in the community. I started learning first aid at the age of 13 and turned that into advanced triage first aid, where I've practiced for decades with emergency services here in Australia, in planning for crashed aircraft, train disasters, terrorist activities and natural disasters. So a qualified builder and, and Lisa.
Lisa?
So I'm a Sydney-born Australian, non-Jewish, but...
but she knows lots of Yiddish.
And I visited Israel last year and loved it. I've been in finance for 42 years, but through my life, very active in the community, raising money, riding push bike, always helping the community, giving something back because it's what we all must do, get together.
Yes. Lisa and Ron, you live in Dover Heights. I think your nearest beach is Bondi Beach, or your favorite beach is Bondi Beach. And instead of just swimming this summer, you are doing totally different things. Can you tell us about it, please?
Yes, well, basically, I'm the official Bureau of Meteorology rain gauge reader for this area. We're roughly 30% below our average rainfall. If you look across Australia, which I do every day when the rainfall stats come in some areas they've had less than 10 millimetres of rain, a half an inch for those. In some areas in the outback, which is just ridiculous. In other words, it would be totally dry desert. This has been amplified across the whole of Australia. Also, the weather patterns here involving El Nino and other, the Southern Oscillation Index and also the Indian Ocean Dipole have all been in a level where it turns to meaning, in simple terms, no rain, total dryness and excessive heat. Actually, last Saturday in Sydney, we had the highest recorded ever temperature officially at 49 degrees in the western suburbs of Sydney. And at that stage, that was the highest temperature in the whole of Australia.
And in the whole of the world, by the way.
Yeah, so basically the areas, the Australian bush is very adept. I've camped with Habanim, which all the Yidden would know, since I was 6 years old. And I've always had a love of the bush. I've also studied horticulture and owned a retail plant nursery, and I've learned a lot about the Australian bush. The Australian bush is at probably its driest it has ever, ever been in recorded history. So that's the problem. And with the no rain, the dry bush, and super high temperatures, and desert heat winds, khamsim, the eucalyptus trees with dry lightning strikes have just exploded, and it's totally, totally out of human control.
Skies in Sydney here are clouded in smoke on a daily basis. The air pollution is high. It's very sad. So people's got together in various ways to try and help firefighters. We can't all get to the area, or it's not safe for people to go there. So in a couple of ways we've done locally is our niece is a firefighter. She's 34. She's a mother of three and works full time. She puts her body on the line out in the fire areas all through New South Wales on a daily basis.
And as a volunteer.
Not paid. So on Boxing Day here in Australia, we passed the hat around on our Boxing Day event and we raised money to pay for 12 full face masks to protect for the ventilation, because currently they're just wearing paper masks because the volunteers have to provide their own masks. We got together and did that to get to protect these two teams of firefighters that we know directly, and the local council in Bondi Beach Surf Life Saving put the word out to the community and said, found out firstly what the community needs rather than inundate them with things they don't require. So they've put out on a Facebook site what they need, looking for truck drivers, looking for these goods, whether it's toothbrushes, Ventolin, nappies, name it.
And even blankets for koala bears that have been burnt.
So there's a special pile for the koalas, for the towels and the blankets that aren't new. But the community of Sydney has got together there are boxes and boxes and boxes of
thousands of boxes.
So you volunteer at the Bondi Surf Club to actually sort all the stuff and pack it on the trucks. Can you tell us the atmosphere there? What happened?
The atmosphere was quite calm. It's good you introduce yourself to a complete stranger. I met an expat Australian who lives in New York. He's currently visiting his children. He came in. I met a lady from Scotland. She was visiting. She came in. There were children off the beach all chipping in, carrying loads of water. Everybody was helping and they were all complete strangers. And it was a good environment that everyone really felt warm and emotional about, because we all felt like we were doing something to help. Because you sit at home and you see it on the news each night and I become quite tearful because it's quite sad. And the deaths and the fire and people losing their houses, it gets quite disturbing. So you have to be able to do something, because we've donated money as well, but I feel better for myself to try and help it. And if everyone helps in a small way, then we can help the community. People are offering caravans to people to live in. This is the extent that they're doing, trying to give them a tent or a yard to put their horses in. So we've got all these dislocated animals and they need refuge. They've had big refuges for animals and people with animals only and their pets. It's just a massive...
It goes beyond... Lisa's hit the right note. It's gone beyond just people being displaced temporarily. The problem is that as a builder, I can tell you that some of these people won't be even close to living back in their homes that have been burnt to nothing, absolutely down to the ground, nothing left. They won't be back in their homes for at least a year and a half, maybe even 2 years. And if you think about losing everything you own, absolutely everything, because fire at the temperatures these were burning at, they're talking about over 1,000 degrees centigrade. So it just incinerates everything. The only thing left is steel and bricks. Everything else is gone. Some of the animals, luckily, that these people had, both as pets and commercial animals, managed to be picked up and rapidly deployed to safe areas, and some of them just naturally ran away, luckily. And the problem is that because it's been so dry for so long, there's no fodder around. New South Wales and parts of Queensland have been importing fodder, straw and hay and feed for animals, dry feed, from interstate and paying exorbitant prices for it just to keep their creatures alive. With this bushfire now, and there is nothing green, there is not a skerrick of green. Lisa and I in 2010 went and had a look at the aftermath of the Victorian fires, which were on the same level, and there was nothing. Absolutely nothing. The hulk of the trees. The scientists are now saying eucalyptus trees in Australia are adapted to fire, and they usually 99% of the time come back. But these fires were so hot that many of these eucalyptus trees, the scientists believe, will not recover. And that is devastating to the whole ecosystem, because without these trees, the animals, the native animals that have survived, and there's not many of them, only the animals that could get underground and the birds, will be permanently dislocated and become extinct. And that's the biggest fear in respect of the native animals, that our native animals are very territorial. A lot of the little creatures that are maybe the size of a small dog might only have maybe 100 square metres or 300 square metres as their territory, and they will not stray out of that territory. And if their territory is gone and all their food sources are gone and their shelter and water is gone, the ones that have survived will die. And this is a huge problem. It's not just a matter of getting food and water and shelter together for humans, but there's also a huge logistical nightmare in trying to, in a veterinary sense, help the animals that have been burnt to survive, but also try and help the animals that have survived and get them back on track somehow.
Ron Notman and Lisa Armstrong, thank you so much for your time.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.